Good evening. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper.
And I'm Carolyn Nelson.
And, folks, I'm back. But before we start the program or talk about anything that's been going on here, I want to tell you that I'm going to take it easy tonight. My voice is still not normal, so I've been told not to strain it, and I'm not going to. So right off the bat, let's go to Phoenix and get the medal report from Gene Miller.
Well, welcome, Mr. Cooper, to the land of the living.
Thank you, Gene.
Have you back.
Good to hear from you again.
It's been a wild few days on the metal and the stock market here with a Dow dropping 100 points last Friday, and it rebounded some. Gold had a high today of 384.80, a low of 378.80 to close at 378.90, down $7.70. Silver had a high of 538 and a low of 523. To close at 523, down 18 cents for the day. The Dow had a high of 3910, a low of 3859, to close at 3906, up 35 points from the last previous close. And like I said, it's just been up and down and everywhere its way but sideways. So the information that I got, you know, I read a lot of different articles. Here's just a couple quotes from an article called The Survival Report. Stock market bust in $500 gold. This is evidence abounds for a topping off of greatly overpriced stock market. In my experience, markets both up and down in a particular direction longer than seems rational. But why? With the changes in direction for interest rates, the utility average, commodity prices, and an advanced decline ratio, it appears that the boom in the financial market is soon coming to an end. Gold is indeed in a bull market, and good times lie ahead for the gold bugs of the world. From R.A. McMasters and the Reaper, says the U.S. stock market is in a blow-off. While I'm looking for a top by no later than March 10th, there are an increasing number of quality analysts expecting a stock market top in late January or February. Fed policies may turn negative, which would be bearish for stocks. Dow utilities have dropped to 220. Technical indicators such as advanced decline ratios are topping. Sentiment has become excessively bullish. One other thing that I got, and I thought this was very interesting because this is coming from a secular newspaper, very much, you know, with the mainline thing, but it says Federal Reserve. In fact, it came from the Orlando Sentinel from a writer by the name of Charlie Reese, and I take my hat off to him for writing this. It says there is, believe it or not, a move in Congress to make some slight reforms to the Federal Reserve System. Alan Greenspan, the chairman of the central bank, naturally is predicting the direst economic consequences if Congress dares meddle with the Federal Reserve. Of course, the nation has suffered dire economic consequences as a result of the Federal Reserve since the day it was created. That's what central banks do, make a few insiders rich, create dire economic consequences for everyone else. You should write Representative Harry Gonzalez, chairman of the House Banking Committee, and thank him for being honest. What, you might ask, is the Federal Reserve? Well, it is the crown jewel of the Eastern establishment, a carbon copy with minor cosmetic changes of the central banks of Europe, which ripped off people long before a foolish Congress imposed one on us in 1913. While those who designed the Fed principally the henchmen of the Rockefellers and the Morgans, were careful to make it complicated lest people figure it out how they were being taken to the cleaners, the guts of the engine are fairly simple to understand. The Constitution authorizes Congress to coin money and set its value. Congress could, if it wished, issue money on the good faith and credit of the United States government. That's what Abraham Lincoln did when he found out how much interest the banks wanted to charge the government for loans to finance the Civil War. The trouble with governments issuing its own money from a banker's point of view is they can't make any money on the deal. Consequently, they prefer to dupe or bribe governments into creating a central bank. And that's what the Federal Reserve is. It's a central bank, a bank for the government and a bank for the banks. Consequently, it's the Fed, not the government, which issues money. The bills in your wallet are Federal Reserve notes. Instead of the government issuing its own money, interest-free, it borrows at an interest from the central banks. Well, you might think that's fair. If the government borrows money from the central bank, it ought to pay interest. But aha, you don't know where the central bank gets the money. It lends to the government. It creates it out of thin air with the stroke of computer key. How can the Fed create money out of nothing and charge interest for it? Because Congress gave it the power. In short, the government, instead of creating its own money interest-free, authorizes the central bank to create money and then lend it to the government at interest. As Thomas Edison once pointed out, this is stupid. If the government can issue a bond backed by its faith and credit, it can also issue a dollar bill. The Fed, by the way, is privately owned. It is not a government agency. There are people appointed by the president to long and staggered terms. The other five members are presidents of regional reserve banks whose stock is owned by banks and whose officers are chosen by banks. The General Accounting Office cannot even audit the Federal Reserve. The board meetings are closed to the public. That's two of the things that Gonzalez wants to modify. It's the central bank, however, that determines if money is short or loose, whether we have inflation or deflation, high interest rates or low interest rates. History shows these decisions are made not for the benefit of people, but for the benefit of banking and financial insiders who created the system. In short, the whole scheme is a ripoff of the American people. And I guess I have only one thing to say, Bill, tonight. For those of you that are supporting the, number one, the stock market, and supporting the Federal Reserve System, are you nuts?
Yeah, they're helping to destroy this country.
Exactly.
They've actually committed the biggest heist in the history of the world. They've literally stolen this nation right out from under us, which you'll be hearing the points in law and the executive orders that made it happen on this program during the next few weeks.
Exactly. Folks, it's time. You've got to wake up. You've got to see what's going on. You've got to quit kidding yourself and thinking everything's going to be just fine because, hey, I wish it was. I really wish it was, you know, having a brand new son and whatnot. I no more want chaos in our country or in the economy no more than I want my house to catch on fire. But I keep fire insurance, and I keep myself, I guess, protected by pulling out of this worldly system and putting myself into something that I know is going to hold its value, that's real, and that's gold and silver. Folks, give us a call here at Swiss America, 1-800-289-2646. We have some free literature. We got some news articles, papers and on the right to own gold, just some different newsletters and whatnot. We'll be glad to get it out to you free of charge and educate you on how to do something. But then once you get educated, and there's hundreds of people that have called and gotten material and have done nothing, do something. I mean, do something, even if it's a little bit.
It's the sheeple factor.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. Quit being sheeple, quit being led to slaughter, and wake up and start doing something for yourself and for your family. Not for yourself. Think of your family and get yourself protected. Again, that number is 1-800-289-2646. When you call, and if you call in at night on the answering machine, let us know that you came from William Cooper's program, because you do get experiential treatment, and Also, make sure that you, you know, leave your address and your phone number so that we can get back to you, because we've got a number of different things we'd like to talk to you about and send you out material. So help us out by doing that, and we'd appreciate it.
Thank you, Dean. And we'll get into the meat of the program now, folks. Remember, call 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Mention my name, William Cooper. Thank them for sponsoring the Hour of the Time. And make sure you ask for all the literature and all the good stuff that you're entitled to as a listener of this broadcast. One of my predictions just came true the other day. Ladies and gentlemen, remember when I told you that I heard Alan Greenspan giving testimony to Congress several months ago, in which he said that he would not be able to hold back rampant inflation for very much longer. I then said that, hey, if it comes from the horse's mouth, you better get ready for it. Rampant inflation is coming. I also told you that when this happened, interest rates would go up and the stock market would go down. So, once again, I was right. I do not like being right, but anybody can make these predictions if you got half a brain and you pay attention to what's going on in the world. Now, remember, folks, they're going to blame this inflation on other than what it really is. The inflation will be created by the Federal Reserve. Inflation is the product of only one thing. One thing, folks. Printing extra money. Money way beyond the total of the gross national product, putting it into circulation, and making credit readily available to large amounts of people. That's where inflation comes from. So this is going to be a manipulated inflation. The purpose of it will be to make you poorer. It will be to make you poorer. Don't fall for the scam of whatever they're going to blame it on. Whatever they blame it on, it's a lie. Unless they tell you that it's a direct cause of making credit easily available, money in the form of credit easily available to just about anybody that wants it, or printing vast amounts of $100 bills and floating them out on the unsuspecting economy, then you know that they're lying, because that's what really causes it. Don't go away. We'll be right back. We're going to have open phones tonight. We're going to talk about what you've been hearing for the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose. Come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose. Come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose. Come on, hey, baby, come on. Come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose. Come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose, baby, come on. I can't stop the hurry, baby, come on. Still cruising like you already do. Pretty good, let's go for a spin. Hop in my hot ride and do it again. He's on a team, happy surprise. I'm a hope you see the spot. I'm staying right beside the scene.
First off, folks, I would like to thank Carolyn Nelson. God's been very good to me. At a time when I needed someone really bad to come and help me, she just showed up out of thin air, camping along a riverbed up here in the mountains. And after searching for her and making an appeal over the air for several days, after she had written us, I don't know how many hundreds of letters, thick letters, and covering the events in Waco, Texas, we finally met and went to dinner. And Carolyn expressed a desire to help us here, and by golly, she's been doing a wonderful job. I don't know what we would have done if she had not been here when I lost my voice. There probably would not have been a program the Hour of the Time. So from the bottom of my heart, Carolyn, thank you very much. And I really appreciate everything that you've done.
Well, Bill, it's just a joy to be here and to know we're part of helping to save our Constitution.
Well, we can't save it anymore. It's already gone. But maybe we can put it back, or put something just as good or better back. So we've got to redirect our efforts. Everybody should be forming militia units, and they must be state militia. There is no such thing as a U.S. or a United States militia, folks. Pay attention to the law. Consult the law. Consult your state constitution. Consult the United States Constitution. Make sure that you're doing it right. It's got to be a state militia. That's the only legal militia that can be formed. You form anything else, you're going to get yourself in deep trouble. We'll go right to the phone line now. Good evening, you're on the air. Hello. They hung up. Phone is 602 888-333-2174. Folks, if you call and we don't get right to you, you should be able to hear everything that's going on in the broadcast. Just hold on and we'll get to you. 602-333-2174 is the number. If you've been listening to the broadcast for the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've got a lot to talk about. I'm sure you have some questions, so let's hold it to the topic. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Good. Much better.
Okay. Yeah, I have a comment to make also on the inflation is the fact that, in other words, raising the rates ahead of time is going to add that expense, interest rate expense, to everything. And actually, they're actually going to create inflation by raising the rates. And once inflation goes up, then they're going to say, well, we've got to raise them even higher to stop inflation. That's my, you know, and so on and so forth. That's kind of my view on it also.
That's right. We saw the same scenario in the 1970s, and they blamed it on a phony oil shortage. There was no oil shortage.
Right. That's right. That's about all I had to say. There was an author called Lindsay Williams that had the book called The Energy Non-Crisis, and
mm-hmm.
he interviewed somebody that used to be a vice VP of ARCO or something like that. And then the story goes that, I don't know if it's true, but they say that there's more oil in Alaska than there is in all of Saudi Arabia, and then they're trying to keep it secret. That's true or not, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, I don't know if it's true either, but I know that there's no oil shortage, and I don't think oil comes from where they've been telling it comes from. Simply because it keeps cropping up all over the place. I think oil is a natural byproduct of whatever goes on in the earth. We're going to find out, aren't we? I don't think it's going to end. I think it's we may strain our resources, but over a period of time, I think it will always come back.
Right. I think this is the beginning of the end for the stock market. That's just my gut feeling. Well, thank you very much, and keep up the good work.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Thank you for calling.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Number is 602-333-2174.
What do you want when you gotta eat something? It's gotta be sweet, and it's gotta be a lot, and you gotta have it now. What do you want?
Mix, match, and whip, back and tidy, rock and ache, and nap, and jump, a rock, and cow, a rock, and fire, for jack, and boo, supper jack. Candy coated popcorn, peanuts, and a fry. That's what you get in Cracker Jack.
Good evening. You're on the air.
How you doing, Bill? I read your book a few years ago, Behold the Pale Horse, and it just blew my mind. I've been a fan of yours ever since then. When you're talking about the militias, state militias, what type of weapons would be the most convenient to have, and how does one go about to start a militia?
Well, you have to remember that right now they're talking about making lead sinkers illegal because the fish get lead poisoning. Now, that's just the first step. They intend to outlaw lead. They intend to outlaw ammunition. I imagine primers will become scarce. They're eventually going to outlaw and confiscate weapons. So whatever weapons you have, you should have clean. In other words, there should be nothing attached to them that says that they belong to you. That is totally 100% constitutional, because the constitutional said that the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, which means any restriction, any law, anything governing your right to have a weapon is unconstitutional, absolutely 100% unconstitutional. You should have whatever weapons the enemy has, because there might come a day when the only ammunition or the only resupply of weapons or ammunition has to come from them. So you should not have a weapon which carries a round of ammunition that the enemy does not use.
Okay. And last question, as far as the gold, having gold, at what point do you think people should exchange their gold for things like tools and farm equipment and...
I wouldn't use the gold for anything unless I absolutely had to. In other words, if I had anything else to barter with or trade or use, I would use that. Gold I would only use as a last, absolutely last resort, and only when I had to, because when it runs out, you've got nothing left.
Okay, Bill, thanks. When is your next book coming out? You have one on the burner?
Yeah, I'm working on it now. In fact, while I was sick, I was busy. We've installed new computers. We got a new scanner. The reason we had the Christmas sale is we needed a lot of equipment and we didn't have the money. We never have any money around here. Thanks to all of you who took advantage of that sale, we made enough money to buy just about every piece of equipment that we needed, and now we're poor again. But it's going to expedite the book. It's going to expedite the production of videotapes from now on. It's going to expedite publishing the documents that we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks, and all kinds of things. I want to thank everybody who participated in that sale. Some of you said that we terminated the ability to get new membership in CAGI to make more money during the sale. That's not true, folks. If you've noticed, you still cannot get a membership in CAGI, and you won't be able to for some time. The reason for that sale is because we needed money to do things that we had to do with equipment that we did not have. So all of you who helped us out and got some stuff that you've been wanting to get for a long time and couldn't because the price was out of your reach, we all thank you here, and you're going to see the results of that pretty soon.
Bill, stay well, and may the force be with you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for calling. Folks, the number is 602-333-2174.
Big drop to purple and I'm proud. I used to be alone in a crowd. But now you look around these days. There seems to be a Dr. Pepper craze. I'm a pepper, he's a pepper, she's a pepper, we're a pepper. Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too? I'm a pepper, he's a pepper, she's a pepper. She's using Dr. Pepper, you're a pepper too. A pepper, darling, interesting breed. An original taste is what we need. Asking if pepper and a thing. Only Dr. Pepper tastes that way. I'm a pepper, he's a pepper, she's a pepper. We're a pepper, wouldn't you like to be a pepper too? I'm a pepper, he's a pepper, she's a pepper. We're a pepper, wouldn't you like to be a pepper too? Be a pepper, green Dr. Pepper.
Come on.
Be a pepper, green Dr. Pepper.
Right.
Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, good evening, Bill. Of course, I certainly appreciate the commercials. It is nice to have the lighter touch.
Well, I collect a few things. I collect old commercials, and I collect different versions of Amazing Grace. And
I'll be waiting to hear the Wheaties, but this is it. Bill, what I wanted to comment on, I noticed in news releases this week pertaining to this interest rate rise, and tell me if I'm incorrect on this. What I've noticed creeping in here is the expression central bank. Now, I always thought of central banks as existing in other countries, but to the best of my knowledge, I don't recall reference being made to our Fed Reserve as the central bank. Am I right or wrong on that, Bill?
No, you're right. And the United States has actually had three central banks in its history. The two previous ones were put out of business by presidents who knew what they really meant for the country. And the third central bank, of course, is the Federal Reserve.
Right.
But nobody's ever called it a central bank until now. And
this is my point, though. It's creeping into, I heard it three times over the weekend on news releases on radio. And I assume the announcers were reading, you know, word for word what was in the copy. And even Gene Miller tonight referred to it as the central bank. And I just want to point out that this is creeping into our vocabulary.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. And they're preparing the public for a lot of things.
Yeah.
We're already a part of a one-world government.
Right. That's what I pointed out to my wife. This is, like so many other things, gradually creeping in. And I just wanted to call you and mention that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of other things that they're going to be throwing out.
Certainly.
And remember, they're always looking for the reaction of the public. If the public reacts adversely, then they might delay it a little longer.
Nobody's going to react to that, Bill, you know, as well as I do. They're all sheeple.
Well, you're absolutely correct. One thing we've been finding out.
Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, we're in for some rough times ahead, and all of those of you out there who don't understand that or believe it, I wish there was some way that I could bring it home to you. I've been trying to make you angry so you'd go out and try to prove me wrong. I've been trying to reach out and sort of slap you upside the head with a verbal 2x4. I've tried just about everything that I can try. I tried for a long time being nice and pleading, and I don't really know what else to do. I'm at a loss. But I'm going to keep on pumping. I'm going to keep on trying, because somehow we have to save what's precious to us. And many of us don't even realize what we have until it's gone. And that's a shame. Many people don't understand how precious their Constitution and their Bill of Rights are. They don't understand yet that we've lost them. If you've been reading the newspaper, you know that the Bill of Rights literally don't exist, or they wouldn't be able to do many of the things that they're doing that you read about every day and hear about on the 6 o'clock news, as Dan Rather, professing to be a loyal American, sits there and tells you the stuff with a straight face without any comment whatsoever. Good evening. You're on the air.
How you doing, Bill?
Oh, I'm much better, thank you.
Okay. My question is that many of the people that have been talking about the New World Order say that they plan to bring it in by the year 2000. Now, my question is there a discrepancy between the year 2000 and the year 2001? Because I know you've talked about the movie and its significance.
Well, let me put it this way. Their timetable is 2000. 2001 was a message to the Brotherhood, really. It wasn't meant for the profane or for the ordinary person, and I don't know any ordinary person who hasn't studied the mysteries who ever understood that movie. It was a message that the world that they wanted is on the horizon. And I don't think that they're going to bring it into reality by the year 2000, and I don't think that they believe that they are. I think they're trying to bring it as close to the year 2000 as they can, but there's going to be obstacles cropping up all over the place, and I don't think it's going to be a reality, if it even is a reality, until sometime after the year 2000, and the exact date, I don't know.
You're saying the timetable's not set in concrete, it can change.
Oh, no, that's why they've been so successful throughout the centuries, is that their plan is resilient. In other words, when they run up against a wall, their plan is very, very acceptable to change. You know, it's not set in stone at any one time, ever. It's a whole bunch of people who believe in this, working tirelessly toward that end, even though many of them throughout history have known that they would never see the results of their work.
Nice. All right. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. Let me see. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. This is Mike calling out of Charlotte.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good. Hope you start feeling better, man. We need you out there.
Well, I'm here.
I hear you. In your book on the Pale Horse, you talked about the Galileo spaceship up around Jupiter.
Yes.
Do you think there's any significance to the comet impact supposedly this July?
Oh, of course. That's very convenient. I've talked to many professional astronomers who tell me that there's no way that they could have seen a comet that far out or known where it was going to impact or even if it would come close to something in the solar system. So they're setting us up. So if their plan works, and if they do ignite Jupiter, they had to do something, since I was the only one in the world that revealed what they were doing and what that space probe was really for. Since I revealed it, a lot of people have been asking questions. So this is just a scenario so they can blame it on something else.
Right.
But they don't even know if it's really going to work, and neither do I. Nobody's ever done it before. They're going to try, yes.
Well, we'll keep on the lookout for them. All right, Bill. Thanks a lot. Keep up good work.
You're welcome.
Thanks for
calling. I'm really happy to be back here at this microphone. I missed it. I've been listening to shortwave and working. Yeah, I've got a lot of work done, I'll tell you that, during the hours that I would have been doing this or preparing for shows. So it set me free to get a lot accomplished that I would not have accomplished otherwise. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Bill? I really appreciate your program. You kind of really woken me up a lot.
Wonderful. That's the whole goal.
I was kind of reading scripture the other day, and I kind of found it just reminded me of you so much. And it says this: for those who know their God will display strength and take action. and those who have insight among the people will give understanding to many. Yet they will fall by the sword and by the flame and by captivity and plunder for many days. But I read that scripture and I thought of you. And I think we need to wake up and take action. You know, the word says it right there. And I just appreciate what you're doing.
Well, I appreciate that, and thank you very much, and I'm certainly happy that you're waking up and waking others up.
I am, and some people are so blind to it, they don't even care. You know, you tell them, and I got proof. I've been doing research and stuff. I've been listening to you for like 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And
so you've
been amazing. It's a, you know, you woke me up.
Wonderful.
And I appreciate it, and I believe God's with you.
Thank you.
You know, thanks, Bill.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back after this very short pause. Didn't take long, did it? I think we've got somebody here that called during the break. Good evening. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Cooper?
Yes.
Mike, this is Mike in Michigan.
Hello, Mike.
Mr. Cooper, you know, on the, I monitored your broadcast on 28 January, and I hope you don't mind, I taped it about the militia.
Uh-huh.
Is it okay?
Well, I hope everybody's taping it. And for those that don't tape it, I hope you order tapes,
copies of
tapes
that tape
from us.
Send it all over the place. I've got a cousin in Alaska. And anyway, the word has gotten out. And I went to the Marine Corps League. And I've been going there and just dropping off information. And just for people's information, there have been people coming into various fraternal organizations like the VFW, American Legion, Marine Corps League, and questioning their attitude or their opinions about certain events and so forth. And they're almost starting to get paranoid about some of these people visiting them.
Well, they better get paranoid, and they better straighten up their act, because real patriots in this country are getting tired of the phony patriots and the phony patriot organizations. These VFW and all of these things, they're just a focus where people can join and go, and they think that they're being represented, and but they're not. And these patriot organizations, or what they call themselves patriot organizations, are not addressing the correct issues. They are not calling the traitors to the carpet like they should be. They're not helping to protect American freedoms. They've stood by doing nothing while the Constitution was ripped right out from under us and we were made a vassal state of the United Nations. And, yeah, they better start worrying, because one of these days a militia unit's liable to walk in there and clean house.
Yes, sir. And I've been, when I go there, and to this particular one, the Marine Corps League here, they've never been there. Well, they've been there, but you had to push a button to get in the door, but I didn't know that. And I've been dropping off your tapes and so forth. I mean, I hope you don't, like I said, of your program and other people, Mark from Michigan and so forth. And yes, this weekend they said, they let me in. Somebody showed me how to get in. And I brought that tape about how to form the militia. On
wonderful.
The 8th of February, January, doggone it.
Uh-huh.
And they're all concerned. I guess all these, this information I've given them is stirred up a mess, you know.
Good.
And they're very concerned about what they should do. They know everything is wrong. I talked to the commander of that particular post, and they're all very concerned, and they wanted to know what to do, and I gave him your tape, you know, of that broadcast.
Uh-huh.
Of what a legal militia is. And I says, just listen to that. And he said he's going to listen to it. He's going to, when they have their meeting, when they're all gathered together, then they will go about it. But they've been concerned about, everybody's concerned. A friend of mine went to Lima, Ohio this weekend. He says people are buying ammunition like you can't believe.
That's right.
And guns and everything else because they know what is happening.
That's right. These traders in our country are in for a big awakening and a big surprise. They think we're going to lay down and take this, and we're not.
No way. And one of the things that...
you got to bring it to a close real quick because you've been on here a lot longer than you should be.
Well, I'm sorry. But, hey, thank you very much for being on here. I just want to back you up and let you know what's going on in this area of the world.
You're welcome. Appreciate it. Thank you for calling.
You bet.
Try to keep your calls short, folks. I'm going to try to get as many people on as possible. There's always a lot of people trying to call, and, an hour goes by short. But don't forget, we've got another program later tonight at 10 p.m. Mountain, 9 Pacific, 11 Central, and midnight Eastern Standard Time. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello. How you doing, Bill?
Much better. Thank you. Turn your radio off now, quick.
Couple questions.
Whoa, you almost blew my eardrum out.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
This timetable for this rampant inflation, I mean, do you have anything more specific, or do you think it's going to start in a couple weeks, a couple months?
What difference does it make? You heard it right out of the mouth of the man who controls the money, didn't you?
Well, my shortwave.
I'm talking about Greenspan, and he didn't say it on shortwave. He said it on the 6 o'clock news with Dan Rather.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Are you talking about Greenspan? What he proposed?
What he said. He said, months ago, I can no longer hold back rampant inflation. He said that in front of Congress.
He
said that, I made my predictions. Just now, just a few days ago, when they raised the interest rates, he said again, we're raising the interest rates because inflation is coming. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to hold it back. Well,
I'll tell you one thing, Bill, that they're really BSing on this issue because you go to places where they're selling cars, you got to wait for the car to come in. You go trying to get a part, trying to build something in your house, you got to wait for the parts to come in. I mean, nothing's out there. I think the shelves are getting bare right now as far as hardware.
Hey, I've been warning people for years. I hope that somebody's finally beginning to understand that stuff.
And I'm looking around some of these, like these Walmarts where they sell food supposedly at a decent price.
Mm-hmm.
Things the same price now.
Absolutely.
Not really that low.
Yeah, let me tell you how sheeple the sheeple really are. They'll be in a nice small town. They've got it made. They live in the freest, best nation in the world with the greatest opportunities. They've got all their people are working. They got their small businesses. They got their little main street. Everybody goes down and frequents the businesses. And then Walmart moves in and chops prices down to bare minimum. Nobody ever saw prices like that before. And so they all leave their small businesses and go to Walmart. And one by one, all the small businesses go out of business until the town is in trouble because there's no business and nobody has any work unless you're working at Walmart. And guess what happens? As soon as those small businesses are out of business, Walmart jacks its prices right back up to the same price that those small businesses were charging. And when are you stupid, ignorant people going to wake up and stop allowing this to happen to you? You see, nothing has happened to us that we didn't cause.
That's true. Two questions I'll get off then. I've got your book, The Pale Horse, Bill the Pale Horse. I'd like to get some more information, some sources, some leads to verify the accusation you make on John Paul II. And also on the earthquake in Los Angeles, was that a nuclear bomb?
How would I know?
Well, they said that the energy was released vertically. And they had a woman on ABC ABC News who was interviewed just for a short soundbite for the radio.
But let me break in here. All that speculation. If you can find some proof or you have any proof, we'd like to see it. Otherwise, we don't like to speculate on this program.
But have you ever heard of vertical release of energy?
Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, if the fault slipped vertically.
Okay, and John Paul II, I read that he said that he sold gas. nerve gas or whatever?
According to our sources, before I wrote the book, yes. He worked for a company in Poland that was owned by the large chemical company that did business with Germany, and that he was actually selling cyanide gas to the concentration camps. Now, this is from a source. Remember, you can't always verify everything. We did check with the records in Germany, and he did work for the chemical company, and he did work as a salesman for a time.
I could add also that a caller said that she found the biography of this man at the library and found some of the statements in it.
Did you have the title of that biography by any chance?
Not sitting right here, no.
Was this somebody that called, Carolyn?
Called in, yeah.
Carolyn takes all the calls, so I very rarely get to hear that kind of stuff.
A few months ago. So.
Okay, well, thanks for your time tonight, Bill.
Thank you for calling. 602-333-2174. If you notice, folks, the Pope is going right along with the New World Order. In fact, he's calling for it. The only difference between him and the other people calling for the New World Order is he's the one who wants to sit upon the throne of the world. Good luck, Popey. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I have two questions for you. One, I'd like to hear more about the Jupiter thing, whatever's going on with that, and also your interpretation of what the Bible teaches on the rapture.
No rapture.
Okay. Now, what does it say about that? I mean,
doesn't say anything. The whole rapture thing was invented by a woman in England back around 1854.
Okay. So where is the thing where they're saying twinkling of an eye and all that?
Don't you understand how this works? If they can totally neutralize the Christian population, they'll have no resistance to the New World Order. So they're telling them, hey, you don't have to worry about worldly things. You don't have to worry about any of this. I'm not going to bother you, because if you're true to the book, you're going to be raptured. And I'm telling you all, you're going to be right here with me going through the same suffering, pain, and heartaches. And you're going to watch your family go through it and your children go through it. That anybody else is going through, and you ain't going no place.
Okay. Now, you're saying that this lady that created this whole rapture thing, is there information on this?
Oh, yeah.
Look up?
Yeah.
Where do we start about something?
Well, you start in your library. And just like I told Paul when he called me, go find it.
Okay. Now, what about this Jupiter thing?
Well, we've had several programs on that, and it's in my book. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because we get new listeners and they always want to hear the same thing over and over again. And if we do that, then we don't get to talk about anything else. But basically, what you need to do is write NASA or call NASA, tell them you want all the information they have on the Galileo space probe.
Okay, great.
That's going to Jupiter.
Thanks.
You'll find it's carrying 49.7 pounds of plutonium. It's arrayed in the spacecraft with two banks opposite each other with a vacuum in the middle. When it plunges into the center of Jupiter, the immense pressure that it encounters will cause these two banks to implode into each other. And what happens when plutonium is imploded into each other in that manner?
Okay. I don't know.
It's called an atomic bomb.
Okay.
And what is Jupiter?
I don't know.
Hey, this is basic stuff. Jupiter.
Oh, you mean the planet? No, yeah.
What did you think I was talking about?
No, but I mean, what do you mean? It was Jupiter. It's a planet, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what's it made up of?
I don't know.
Gases.
Okay.
The same gases that make up the sun. It's a baby star. It just hasn't been lit off.
Okay, so what are they going to do? That's going to destroy everything.
Well, I don't know if it will or not. Nobody knows. Nobody even knows if it'll work.
If it works, we may have no starlight anymore in 6 years' time.
The moon will disappear from the sky, and there will be no more stars forever, and that will fulfill a prophecy of Daniel.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
For your program.
Good night. Thank you for calling. Let me see here. What do we have? I think we got a whole bunch of stuff right over here, but we're not going to talk about that tonight. We'll just do this.
Don't cross the street in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the block. Don't cross the street in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the block. Keep your eyes closed.
He joys to hear. Walks up to the corner where the coast is clear. And wait until you see the light turn green. Don't cross the street in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the block. Don't cross the street in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the block. Don't cross the street in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the block. Keep your eyes to look up, keep your ears to hear. Walk up to the corner where the coast is clear. And wait, and wait until you see the light turn green. Don't cross the street in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the block. Don't cross the street in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the block.
That's for my daughter Pooh and all the other children out there who might be listening. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Dave in Albuquerque.
Hi, Dave.
How's it going?
Good. We could have dinner later if you wanted to drive over.
Yeah, it's not too far, about a nine-hour drive.
Oh?
It's only about a nine-hour drive.
It's only about 3 hours, my friend.
Albuquerque. Oh, I'm not sure where Sholo is. I kind of thought you were near Phoenix.
Well, you don't take 40. You just come straight over the mountains.
Oh, great. Well, someday I'll do that. I'd like to meet you. Was that company IG Farben?
IG Farben, exactly. That's who I was trying to remember.
Yeah. You know, I just have a comment in this. One thing with this whole New World Order, it seems to me sometimes that these guys already have us right where they want us. And if they try to impose any more control on us, they're going to kill the goose that laid the golden egg, because if they put us all in chains, we're not going to be productive. We're not going to be cranking out the big bucks and the goodies for them to enjoy.
Yeah, the sheeple will. They'll give them football games and big screen television and make it interactive so they can vote and participate in polls. And they'll cut their work day down to 4 hours a day and 4 days a week. And they'll have the great circuses and things like the Luxor Hotel in Vegas that they can go to. They'll have to schedule it 4 years in advance, but, you know... They won't have any freedom. They won't be able to talk about what they want to talk about. And all the books that are no-nos to the New World Order will disappear off the shelves. And, you know, some people will love that world. Socialists, that's what they dream about all the time. No responsibilities. Daddy will take care of me. I don't have to do a thing.
I know. I know so many people like that. It kind of makes you sick, you know. And you tell people what's going on, and it's like, well, what's wrong with that? You know, we're going to have a happy world. Oh, man. So I don't know, I beat your head against the wall sometime. But so you think the next phase is they're going to lock up the patriots or anybody who resists and let the rest of the sheeple just keep on?
In the New World Order, patriotism will be considered to be a mental illness, and so will religious views.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm asking is do you think that the rest of the people who go along with it will still... you know, be able to enjoy their little fun and games and, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah. They may be relocated. They may be trained and given another job that they've never done before. Their standard of living is going to drop precipitously, although their level of entertainment will go through the roof.
Right.
You know, you keep people entertained, their brain rots. And that's what's coming. You can already see it. I know men who don't know anything in this whole world except who plays third base for the Mets, and they think that's a great achievement.
Yeah, and they get a lot of money for it, too. That's kind of sad.
Well, why do you think they get all that money? Why do you think Dan Rather and Ted Koppel get paid so much, and Barbara Walters?
Well, because they're keeping the sheeple in their place.
That's exactly right, and they won't buck the system because they'll lose it, won't they? And why do they pay sports people as much as they do for playing a game that you played for nothing because it was fun, you know? Very simple. It elevates it to a high degree of interest among the sheeple who envy that amount of money. So it's the same. It's the old Roman circus. It's the gladiators all over again. Thanks for calling.
You bet.
Electric drive, here is the beer of great renown. Friendly face. chasing my goal. Always happily dry. The cream clear taste you want in beer is in Rheingold Extra Dry.
From Lexington to Madison and on both sides of Park,
they ask for Rheingold Extra Dry
before and after dark.
From Coney to Connecticut on Flatbush Avenue, from Jersey Queens way up to Queens, they sing at million too. My beer is Rheingold and my beer. Friendly, fresh, sing and happily dry beer. Dry means clean and it's clear. Dry means thirst, quenching beer. Join the millions who buy Rheingold beer. Extra dry.
Remember, folks, these are old vintage commercials, and I collect them. They're played for your listening enjoyment only. We do not endorse any of these products, nor are we suggesting that you go out and drink beer. It's just for entertainment. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm John from Detroit, Michigan.
Hello, John.
Hi. How you doing? The first time I just, heard your broadcast today and playing around with my little shortwave set, and I think you're great, and... Have you ever read the Operation Vampire Killer 2000?
Years ago, long before you ever heard of it.
Yeah, probably. I've been pretty much alone doing this, the New World Order stuff.
A lot of people have been, and they're discovering that they're not alone.
Yes, definitely. I found that tonight. Doing my own research and stuff, I go to all the gun shows and keep up with what's going on, and I think you're doing a great job. It's the first night I've heard you, but everything seems to be going...
Thank you. Actually, we're not doing anything tonight.
But you're touching bases on, some of the basic stuff.
Yeah, I'm just trying to rest my voice and give people a chance to talk about what they've been hearing or whatever else. So far, nobody's talked about what they've heard. I guess they're all dumbfounded or weren't listening, or maybe it didn't make the impact I thought it would. The first 8 episodes of the Treason series was just that, the first 8. We got a lot more to go, and wait till you see the documents when we publish them.
Could I have some addresses or phone numbers to get some info?
Sure. The Research Center is 602-333-5174. That's 602-333-5174. Either myself or Carolyn will answer the phone if you call. If nobody's here, leave your name and number. Somebody will get back to you. The address, if you want to write. If you'd like an information packet, send a number 10 size, that's a business size envelope, number 10 size, self-addressed, stamped envelope with 2 29-cent stamps on it, 2 of them, okay, to Post Office Box 1420, that's P.O. Box 1420, SHOLO, and it's spelled just exactly like it sounds, folks, it's 2 words, SHOW, and low, and everybody learns those 2 words very young in life. Arizona 85901. That's P.O. Box 1420, SHOLO, Arizona 85901. Right now, the fax number is 602-333-2174, and that's good to send faxes anytime that we're not on the air. When we're on the air, that number is the call-in number. Also, we have a computer bulletin board system that's offline right now. I'll be giving the number out as soon as we get the new software upgraded and get it back upline. Right now, if you call it, all you get is a screen that says call back when it's up. Does that help you?
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Good. Thank you for calling.
Goodbye.
Another public service announcement from Brill Cream. Men, beware. Use one dab of Brill Cream. Just a little dab makes your hair look excitingly clean, disturbingly healthy. This man dared to use 2 dabs. Now he's in trouble. We refuse to be responsible.
Brill Cream, Brill Cream, Brill Cream. Brill Cream, a little dab will do ya. Brill Cream, you look so better there. Brill Cream, the gals will offer to ya. They'll love to get your fingers in your hair.
Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello, Bill. This is Ron in Indiana.
Hello, Ron.
How are you this evening?
Good.
I'm glad to hear you're feeling better.
Oh, is this my Ron?
This is, I'm a catchy. Yes.
Okay, good.
I would like to mention a rumor that I've heard about what Winchester has done with their primers.
No rumors, thank you.
Okay, we'll do it then.
We do not participate in spreading rumors.
Okay.
I have heard the silliest, stupidest thing circulating around this country, and I wish all of you would stop it. I'm not trying to chastise you personally. I'm talking to everybody.
I understand.
If you can't find verification for something, don't contribute to the problem by spreading it to other people. It just, it really hurts everything.
Okay. Well, I was going to question whether you'd heard it, but I won't even mention it then. I want to thank you for your treason series. I think that many of us knew already and felt that was the case, but this just smacks you right in the face. And anyone that will listen to that series, and believe me, the tapes are all over Indiana, and, well, all over Texas now, too.
Good. We haven't finished yet. We've got a lot more to go.
But your first eight were dizzy, and we're looking forward to more, and we thank you. Thank you very kindly.
Great. Thank you for calling, and I understand that you're trying to be helpful when you wanted to tell us whatever it was you were going to tell us, but we just prefer that you don't. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Bill Cooper.
Hello.
I have a question, and the question is, when they prevented U.S. citizens from owning gold coins and started it up again in 1986, 1 ounce gold eagles and lower, I wonder why they let the U.S. citizens have the privilege of owning gold. And I don't believe that the government ever does anything for one single purpose, and I wonder what's behind it.
Well, I don't know. I think it, I don't know, to tell you the truth. I really don't. But it is in your best interest to own gold or silver coin, if you can, in the smallest denomination that you can get, I can tell you that. I don't know why they did, and I'm not sure that they really did. In fact, from our research, the original executive orders are still in effect, and we're going to be covering that. I'm going to be reading verbatim through from those executive orders right up through the years, and you're going to find out that things are a lot worse than you ever dreamed. Are you there?
Yes. Do you? May I personally ask you if you own gold and silver?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
I would never tell you to do something that I didn't do myself.
Well, that's true, yes. The smaller denominations are a higher price.
Might be a higher price, but if you go into a back alley to buy a loaf of bread and all you got's a $20 gold piece worth $500, that's what that loaf of bread's going to cost you, my friend.
I see. So you're even saying silver dollars would be better.
I'm saying dimes are the best of all. Silver dimes.
Is that junk silver?
1/10 ounce gold pieces. Smallest denomination that you can find.
Let me have you put a time frame on when you think they might be used.
Well, some people are using them already. That's how they get out of the system. I'll tell you something else. If you buy something with Federal Reserve notes, you don't own it. You buy something with gold, it's yours. I got to let you go because we're out of time, my friend.
Sure.
Folks, don't forget to call, stay tuned, listen later to the Hour of the Time, which will be broadcast again later tonight. Be a different show altogether. I'll be here, 9 Pacific, 10 Mountain, 11 Central, and midnight Eastern Standard Time. Good night, and God bless you all. Thank you.
Baby, you're a superstar. Looking like you're going far.
Do what you want, honey. Do what you want.
You could be my little movie queen up there on the silver screen.
Do what you want, honey. Do what you want.
Catch a plane to Hollywood and ride away your best buddy with Johnny B. Good every day.
Baby, welcome to the neighborhood. Now you can do what you want. What you want, you can make it bigger than life. Your name is spelled right. I'm on the right.